Your stanzas disappear more or less rapidly, simultaneously, intercut and interlaced, held together at the very crossing point of their interruptions. Caesuras that are only apparent,
here they are, the question, won't deny that's all. It,
and a purely faked multiplicity.
Are they going to remain there, put remain down, left lying about, abandoned, like these apparently empty, unlaced shoes waiting with a certain detachment for someone to come and to say, to come and say what has to be done to tie
like
them together again?
But inevitably, I insist.
And then if we take the trouble to formalise a little, that correspondence would turn into the questions I've just laid down.
What I'm saying is that there will have been a correspondence between Mayor Shapiro and Martin Heidegger.
Them. Returning will have great scope in this debate, and so will scope, if that is, it's a matter of knowing to whom and to what certain shoes, and perhaps shoes in general, return. To whom and to what, in consequence, one will have to restitute them,
held together at the very crossing point of their interruptions.
To discharge a more or less ghostly debt, restitute the shoes, render them to their rightful owner. If it's a matter of knowing from where they return from the city or the fields, like rats, which I suddenly have an idea they look like, then who is these rats, rat man? Unless it is rather that they look like snares, lying in wait for the stroller in the middle of the museum. Will she,
what is a pair in this case?
And catching his, her feet in them. If it's a question of knowing what revenue is still produced by their out-of-service dereliction, what surplus value is unleashed by the annulment of their use value outside the picture, inside the picture, and third, as a picture, or to put it very equivocally, in their painting truth. If it's a question of knowing what ghost step, city dweller or peasant, will...
still comes to haunt them, the ghost of my other eye, the other eye of Vincent the signatory, as Shapiro suggests, quoting Nuthamson, but Heidegger also does this elsewhere. If it's a question of knowing whether the shoes in question are haunted by some ghost or are returning, ghosting, returning itself, but then what are, who are in truth, and what's these things? In short, what does it all come down to? To whom and to what are we to restitute, to research,
your
to
stanzas
readjust
disappear
precisely
more or less rapidly.
Shall we start again?
Yeah.
And yet, who said, I can't remember, there are no ghosts in Van Gogh's pictures. But we should wait until there are more than two of us before we start.
Before we get going at the double, you mean, we should wait until there are more than three of us.
Here they are, out in. What are shoes? What shoes? Whose are the shoes? What are they made of? And even who are they? Here they are, the questions,
being avoided like a catastrophe.
Are they going to remain there?
Inevitably, I insist. What is a pair in this case?
Waiting with a certain detachment for someone to come and to say, to come and say what has to be done to tie them together again.
What I mean is there will have been something like the pairing of a correspondence between Mayor Shapiro and Martin Heidegger, and that if we take the trouble to formalise a little, that correspondence would return to the questions I've just...
If, that is, it's a matter of knowing to whom and to what certain shoes, and perhaps shoes in general, return... To whom and to what in correspondence one would have to restitute them, to render them, to discharge a debt.
Why always say of painting that it renders, that it restitutes?
To discharge a more or less ghostly debt, restitute the shoes, render them rightful, to their rightful owner. If it's a matter of knowing from where they return, from the city, Shapiro, or the fields, Heidegger, like rats, which I suddenly have an idea that they look like, then who are these rats? Ratman? Unless it is rather that they look like snares, laying in wait for the stroller in the middle of the museum. If it's a question of knowing what revenue is still produced by their out-of-service dereliction, what surplus value is unleashed by the annulment of their use value, outside the picture, inside the picture, and third, as a picture, or to put it very equivocally, in their painting truth. If it's a question of knowing what ghosts step, city, dweller or peasant still comes to haunt them, the ghost of my other eye, the other eye of Vincent the signatory, as Shapiro suggests, quoting Nuthamson. But Heidegger also does this. It's a question of knowing whether the shoes in question are haunted by some ghost or are ghosting returning itself. But then there are, who are in truth and whose and what's these things? In short, does it all come down to whom? To whom and to what are we to restitute, to reattach, to readjust precisely?
To what shoe size exactly, made to measure adequately?
And from where from? How? If at least it's a question of knowing, returning will be from a long range. What I'm saying is that there will have been a correspondence between Mayer Shapiro and Martin Heidegger. One of them says in 1935 that pair comes back to, belongs to, amounts to the peasant, and even to the peasant woman.
What makes him so sure that they are a pair of shoes? What is a pair?
I don't know yet. In any case, Heidegger has no doubt about it. It's a pair of peasant shoes, and this indissociable whole, this paired thing from the fields and to the peasant, man or even woman. Thus Heidegger does not answer one question. He is sure of the thing before any other question, so it seems. The other one, not agreeing at all, says after mature reflection, 33 years later, exhibiting the juridical exhibits, but without asking himself any questions beyond this, and without asking any other question. No, there's been an error and a projection, if not deception and perjury. This pair from the city.
What makes him so sure that it's a pair of shoes? What is a pair in this case, or in the case of gloves and other things like that?
I don't know yet. In any case, Shapiro has no doubts about this, and lets none show, and according to him, ça revient, this pair from the city to some city dweller, and even to a particular man of the town and city, to the picture's signatory, to Vincent, bearer of the name Van Gogh, as well as of the shoes, which thus seem to contemplate, complete, complement him, himself, these convex objects which he has pulled off his feet.
Or these hollow objects from which he has withdrawn himself.
It's only just beginning, but already one has the impression that the pair in question, if it is a pair, might well not come back to anyone. The two things might then exasperate, even if they were not made in order to disappoint, the desire for attribution, for reattribution with surplus value, for restitution with all the profit of retribution. Defying the tribute, they might well be made in order to remain there.
But what does remain mean?
What I'm saying
in this
is
case?
That there will have been a correspondence between Meyer Shapiro and Martin Heidegger.
Certainly a question of feet and of many other things, always supposing that feet are something and something identifiable with itself. Without even looking elsewhere or further back, restitution re-establishes in rights or property by placing the subject upright again, in its stance, in its institution, the erect
What I'm saying
body.
Is that there will have been a correspondence between Meyer Shapiro and Martin Heidegger. Before even asking himself or posing any other question, this pair is due to the one, male or female, to the other, replies the other, proof in hand without further ado, and that one does not amount to the same thing as the other. But in the two attributes, it does perhaps amount to the same thing via a short detour, does perhaps come down to a subject who says to me, to an identification.
And these shoes concern them, they concern us, their detachment is obvious, unlaced, abandoned, detached from the subject, wearer, holder, or owner, or even author's signatory, and detached, untied in themselves, the laces are untied.
Detached from one another, even if they are a pair, but with a supplement of detachment on the hypothesis that they don't form a pair.
I'll try now to answer your question about the story of Echo and Narcissus.
If one focuses on the treatment of the image and not on the love story in the myth of Echo and Narcissus, one sees the myth as about the relationship between specular image and voice, between sight and voice, between light and speech, between the reflection and the mirror. Speech is what's taking place here, right now. There's a mirror, I'm speaking, there's a camera. You pose a question, I repeat it. So I'm acting as both Narcissus and Echo at the same time. And what's extraordinary in this scene, which I've examined in my seminars, is the moment when Echo traps Narcissus in a certain way. Echo, cursed by the jealous gods, was never allowed to speak for herself and was only allowed to repeat the ends of others' phrases. But Echo, in her loving and infinite cleverness, arranges it so that in repeating the last syllables of the words of Narcissus, she speaks in such a way that the words become her own. In a certain way, she appropriates his language. In repeating the language of another, she signs her own love. In repeating, she responds to him. In repeating, she communicates with him. She speaks in her own name by just repeating his words. And as always with speech, one is blind. To speak is not to see.
So all speech is to some extent blind. And at base, echo blindly, but quite lucidly, corresponds to Narcissus. It's a love story, after all. She corresponds to Narcissus, who is also blind, because Narcissus realizes that he can only see himself, that it's only his own image that he's seeing in the water. To see oneself, only oneself, is a form of blindness. One sees nothing else. And it's because of this that Narcissus and
Shapiro on one side, Heidegger on the other, get their certainty that it's a question here of a pair of shoes. What is a pair in this case? Are you going to make my question disappear? Is it in order not to hear that you're speeding up the exchange of these voices, of these unequal tirades? Your stanzas disappear more or less rapidly, simultaneously intercut and interlaced, held together at the very crossing point of their interruptions. Caesures that are only apparent, you won't deny it, and a purely faked multiplicity. Your periods remain without innumerable origin, without destination, but they have authority in common, and you keep me at a distance, me and my request measuredly, and being avoided like a catastrophe. But inevitably, I insist, what
they become as if sensitive to the comic aspect of the thing, sensitive to the point of imperturbably restrained hilarity. Faced with a procedure, and that is so sure of itself that cannot, in its certainty, be dismantled, the thing, pair or not, laughs.
We should return to the thing itself. And I don't know yet where to start from. I don't know if it must be talked or written about.
Significant of what?
I'm losing it now.
No hasty step here, no hurrying pace towards the answer. Hurrying along is perhaps what no one has ever been able to avoid when faced with the provocation of this famous picture. This collapse interests me. Shapiro also detects it in his own way, which is also that of a detective, and his analysis interests me thereby, even if it does not satisfy me. In order to answer the question of what such a collapse signifies, will we have to reduce it to a dispute over the attribution of the shoes? Will it be necessary in painting or in reality to fight over the shoes? Necessary to ask oneself only, who, whose are they? I hadn't thought of this, but I now find myself imagining that, despite the apparent poverty of this quarrel over restitution or of this trafficking in shoes, a certain
yes,
deal
not.
Done might well but on condition that this treatment, of course, should not be abandoned to the hands of Martin Heidegger or to the hands of Mayor Shapiro, I do say not to be abandoned, for we intend to make use of their hands too, or even, what's more, of their feet.
The choice of the procedure is to adopt is difficult. Say that again. The choice of the procedure to adopt is difficult. It slides around. What is certain is that there will have been a correspondence between Heidegger and Shapiro, and that is here something like a pairing together in the difference of opinion, the enigma of a complementary fitting together of the two sides, of one edge to the other. But I still don't know where to start from, whether I must speak or write about it, nor, above all, in what tone, following what code, with a view to what scene. Neither of these questions nor these scruples are outside the debate begun by Heidegger around the work of art.
But do I really want to undertake this procedure?
Detached from one another, even if they are a pair, but with a supplement of detachment on the hypothesis that they don't form a pair. For where they do both, I mean Shapiro on one side, Heidegger on the other, detached from one another, even if they are a pair, but with a supplement of detachment on the hypothesis that they don't form a pair. For where do they both, I mean Shapiro on one side, Heidegger on the other, get their certainty that it's a question here of a pair of shoes? What is a pair in this case? Are you going to make my question disappear? Is it in order not to hear that you're speeding up the exchange of these voices? Is it in order not to hear that you're speeding up the exchange of these voices, of these unequal tirades? Your stanzas disappear more or less rapidly, simultaneously intercut and interlaced, held together at the very crossing point of their interruptions. Caesuras that are only apparent, you won't deny it, and a purely faked multiplicity. Your periods remain without innumerable origin, without destination, but they have authority in common. And you keep me at a distance, me and my request, measuredly. I'm being avoided like a catastrophe, but inevitably I insist. What is a pair in this case?